Hello, Roo. Start of a brand new week. How was your weekend?
Oh, I had a pretty good weekend, thanks, Ditch.
Yeah, it poured with rain yesterday. I was at the footy and didn't it come down?
Yes, you were just a punter at the footy. How'd that go?
Look, I know that I'm a real footy supporter now that I'm back in the stands, Roo, because I burnt my mouth on a pie yesterday.
Were you going a bit hard at it?
No, start of the game, I was hungry. It was lunchtime, 12:40 start, bit peckish, lined up, and absolutely burnt the roof of my mouth.
What did you, chomp into it or something?
Yeah, I did, and that takes me back.
Take a cautious approach.
Takes me back to when I was at you always burnt your mouth on pies and pasties at the footy.
Did that affect your supporting?
I had to tough it out.
You probably didn't need to support too much in the first half anyway.
Well, there wasn't much going on, but it turned into a good game. Bloody umpires, though. I gave the umpires a fair whack.
Oh, you gave the umpires
a whack? Gave the umpires a whack yesterday.
Oh, that's just to fit into the crowd.
Oh, yeah, but, you know, we've been arguing about holding the ball all year. Tell me about deliberate out of bounds. Do you understand it?
Yeah, I reckon I've got a handle on deliberate out
Do
of
you?
Bounds. Yeah, I reckon.
Well, you're the only person in Australia right now.
I reckon. The Port have given away more free kicks than any other side in the competition this year.
I know. I've seen every one of them.
Anyway, you had a good win, Dits, and I tell you what, you might beat Hawthorn, and then you might beat St Kilda.
Hawthorn,
and you'll be 7-4 at the bye.
Ooh, that'd be nice.
Be very good.
All right, what's coming up today, Roo?
I'll cover the election and what it means and how it all unfolded over the weekend. A massive upset with the Libs getting up. Peter Ford will join us, give us all the things in entertainment. Grumpy Old Men.
Yes.
Part 2 is back again today. We'll have a chat to the old boys and we'll have a look at all the footy over the weekend.
Good on you, Roo. Roo and Ditsy are on Triple M on this Monday morning.
Triple M. You should have never trusted Hollywood.
On Roo and Ditsy for breakfast, it's time to talk entertainment.
That's entertainment.
With Peter Ford.
Oh, Roos, we welcome Peter Ford this morning. The most watched program on Australian TV this year, Channel 9's Married at First Sight. It copped a hammering last night on Channel 7's Sunday night. Peter Ford, good morning.
Oh, gee, they really went for the jugular with that, wasn't it? They gave it a very, very huge amount of time, pretty much the whole show, to talk about the dangers of people who go on reality TV. And they did very much focus on Married at First Sight. But they also looked at a former Big Brother contestant, and they also looked at Stu, who got matched up with Sophie Monk on The Bachelorette. And this girl, Claire Verrill, from Married at First Sight, she really worries me. She's talked about the fact that she actually tried to take her life a couple of times. She was so distressed by all the blowback and the negativity and stuff. The only thing that worries me about that is that you think, well, why are you coming back on TV to talk about it? You know, when people might be forgetting about who you are and everyone's moved on, why do you come back and expose your face again and set yourself up for more criticism? That sort of thing, it makes me very curious. It's almost like some of these people are addicted to what the fame will bring them.
Yeah,
addicted to
spot on.
Try and find a bit of popularity. But where do the TV networks sit with a balance of, being responsible with what they end up getting the people to do with booze and getting married and all the emotion that goes along with it? Must be walking a fine line in modern society, I would have thought.
It is. And look, I mean, I can see two sides of the argument. I mean, these people want to be on. They beg to be on the shows. These shows have been on air for now for a while. You'd have to be an idiot to not know what they're about and to have some basic concept of how they can edit it to make it look different to what it really was. Only a fool would not have some beginner's understanding of that. But, yeah, at the same time, the networks, particularly if they're plying people with alcohol, obviously we all do stupid things when we've had too much to drink, and then next thing you know it's on television and everyone's talking about it. So, yeah, there is a balance. Balance is the right word between that responsibility of the networks and people looking after themselves and saying, I'm not going to subject myself to being in that position.
Now, let's talk The Voice, shall we? Boy George stormed off. What happened?
Oh, my gosh. I tell you what, there were some good singers on that last night. I don't think I watched it last year. I kind of thought, all the good ones are all been on. But I was pretty impressed by a couple of them last night. But, yeah, Boy George cracked it. And the big promo tonight is he going to come back? Will he come back? I reckon there's a fair chance that he's going to come back. He got upset because someone, I don't know, it was very hard to work out what he grabbed his iPhone. He grabbed his GloMesh and he walked, stormed out of there. And the cameras are following him. And come back, George. But it was something to do with one of the contestants said something about, oh, yeah, I play the guitar as well. And that set him off. So who knows? It looked pretty staged to me.
Wow. I'm a celebrity. Got Jackie Lambie back in the Senate. Could we see Darren Hinch go into the jungle? How good would that is that going to be?
Well, it worked for Jackie, didn't it? I mean, it really did. Although, mind you, she was always a superstar down there in Tassie. You know, you go down there, you go down around the mall in Launceston, and she's like a rock star. They love her. So, but it did. It probably changed people's perceptions of her. But it, as you say, it's got her back into the Senate. So now it looks like Darren might be out, although it's not definite. I see him tweeted just about half an hour ago to say he's still got a slim chance. I think it's very slim, although, knowing Darren, he's got more lives than a cat, so he probably will get through. But if not, yeah, I reckon they would absolutely want to get him on He's done that a few times. I think they definitely want to get him on I'm a Celebrity for sure.
Pete, Ditz and I don't watch Game of Thrones. Are you a viewer, one of the millions
no,
of viewers?
No, I don't. We're the only three in the world.
Righto. We can all have a beer together tonight then for an hour or two while everyone else. Apparently the whole country will be watching this tonight.
Oh, and a lot of people at 11 o'clock in the morning when it comes on, like beamed in straight from the States, they're all suddenly disappearing from work for an hour. And,
right.
You know, so, yeah, it's a real addictive thing.
Yeah. Good on you, Pete. Thanks for that. We'll talk later in the week. Peter Ford with everything in the world of entertainment. Monday talk back not far away. Ruined It's on Triple M.
What a goal!
Ruined It's overnight sports.
Crows tickets on sale now at tickettech.com.au.
We fly as one.
Oh, big weekend of footy. Heartbreaking 1-point loss for Adelaide against Brisbane.
It was 8, okay, so it's still 7. They go inside forward 50 again, the Crows. Texan, got it! Campbell over the top, and he's got 3! Wow!
Twenty points down at one stage in the final term, and they kept coming back at Brisbane. But Roo will tell us all about it in our footy review. Coming up shortly. Port Adelaide yesterday got up by 38 points. Travis Boak was outstanding.
It was always going to be like that with the conditions, and they're an outstanding contestable side and a stoppage side. So, look, sometimes it just takes four quarters to really grind it out, and proud of the boys tonight.
Now, yesterday's other games, Roo, Richmond beat Hawthorn by 6 goals. GWS absolutely hammered Carlton by 93
points.
They're
going downhill, Carlton.
They've shown a bit, though,
they have.
Some weeks.
Well, last week they nearly beat Collingwood Dits.
Yeah.
They're either really good or really bad. You can't be like that.
Yeah, Giants ruckman Shane Mumford could be in trouble with a match review officer.
Yeah, he gave Mark Murphy a few sore ribs.
Put him in hospital, actually. He went to hospital, yeah.
Exactly.
The Sky Blues are the A-League champions for the fourth time. Now, this went to a penalty shootout.
Wow.
In front of 56,000 people over there on the west, so a good crowd.
Yep.
But yeah, penalty shootout. Man City won the FA Cup final 6-0 over Watford.
Gee, there's some big scores lately.
Yeah, floodgates have opened. And world number one, Brooks Koepka, goes into the final round of the USPGA with a 7-shot lead. As I said, Roo, with his footy review coming up just before the 7 o'clock news, we'll delve deeper into the Port and the Crows games over the weekend. Up next, though, Monday Talkback. Ruined It's here on Triple M.
G'day, this is George Farmer.
Hello, Robert.
On Triple M's Ruined It's for Breakfast.
Not really enough from argument, boys.
It's time for Monday Talkback.
Oh, indeed. It's 6:36 on this Monday morning. Let's go to the phones, Roo.
Hello, good morning. Who's our first caller?
Yeah, g'day, Roo. I'll be looking forward to your footy review when, you know, you review what happened to the Adelaide Crows. It's a pretty close one, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a close one, Muzz. How are you going anyway?
You're going all right. I was talking to the minibus.
Yeah, now, Muzz, why do you call him the minibus?
Well, he was part of the recruitment team down at the club, but he was only half a coach.
Well, they used to call Gary Ayres, that.
Right.
That's right. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, he was saying, what about the election? You know, he reckons the election was like winks, and I sort of agree with him, you know.
Why was it like winks?
Well, you know, the price of Labor was $1.08, $1.09. They got down $1, exactly the same price as Winks was.
But Winks used to win.
Yeah.
Well, that's what he's saying.
Yeah.
He's saying that it was like Winks lost.
Oh,
Like the election was Winks losing.
Oh, right.
What do you reckon about that?
Yeah, no, probably an accurate assumption.
Maybe it was the opposite of Winks.
But it was the opposite of Winks. So who's the Liberal Party? Which horse is that then?
Well, the Ruffy. The Ruffy that you can think of.
The one that always came second to Winks, but that's why I'm ringing up.
Prince of Penzance or something
like that. 100
to 1. Yeah, that's right.
100 to 1, Prince of Penzance.
Well, I reckon the Liberal Party are the Prince of Penzance. I'm not ringing up for an argument.
No, I like your analogy.
So ScoMo's like the Prince.
He's the Prince of Penzance.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Thanks, mate. That's Murray on the Murray calling in. Let's go to our next caller. Hello, who is it?
Good morning. Is it Ruin Dits?
Yeah.
Is it Darren Hinch?
Hinchy.
Hinchy, now you're in a bit of trouble this morning, I think.
I'm hanging on by a fingernail.
Right.
Just hang on. There's still a chance. I haven't lost yet. Not conceding defeat, but I think, you know, we are a chance. It depends where the preferences go.
Right.
You know, you can just hope for the best. That's all.
Okay.
So but, what are you still a chance?
I'm hanging in there. I'm just hanging in there. That's all I can do. It's Pauline Hanson, she had a tracksuit on fire. It's not easy politics, but you've got to hang in there.
You didn't like
just
that bus in. Up, did you, Darren?
I didn't know. That was never me. I would never do that. But, you know, if she can't stand the heat, then she's got to get out of the truck.
Right, fair enough. All right. Good to hear from you,
Sham.
Darren.
It's a sham. It's a farce. I'll take your calls, but I'm just hanging on. Bye, fingernail.
All right. Well, good luck. Hope you get over the line, Darren. We need Darren Hinch. Let's go to our next caller. Hello, good morning.
Hello, Roo Boy. Hello, Ginger Nut.
What's happened to your voice?
Have you got the flu, Tommy?
Oh, you know, I had too much of Tommy's hot Szechuan chicken dish, you know?
Yeah.
What is the difference between Tommy's hot Szechuan chili dish and a candle?
Wow. What's the difference?
A candle only burns at one end.
Right, fair enough.
Hey, Ditch burned his mouth on a pie at the footy yesterday, Tommy.
Oh,
you boys are both the same.
I hear that. That's not very good when you do that, but... What they should do, they should, Tommy need to get at the polling booth, get the Tommy's fried rice, all these sausages everywhere. Get rid of them, get Tommy's fried rice.
Won't be long and there'll be fried rice at our polling booth, mate.
I hate sausages. You know, the last time I bought some sausages, I got to the supermarket and I buy the Jamie Oliver sausages. You know Jamie Oliver?
Yeah. Naked chef.
On the pack, it says prick with fork. And I thought, they're not wrong there, are they?
Right. See you, Tommy.
See you, Tommy.
Have a rest, mate. Have a rest.
Can we get one more call?
You've been working too hard, Tommy.
All right, let's get one more call. Hello, good morning.
Hey, g'day, boys.
Tex.
Oh, Tex.
How are you?
Yeah, could have played better, I reckon.
Bit down.
Yeah, 1 point.
Yeah, I was a bit down, but... Yeah. I was wandering around Brisbane. They've got some pretty good architecture there.
Architecture?
Yeah. You know how they call them, they're called buildings, right?
Yeah, they are called buildings,
Why don't they call them built?
Because not, they have been finished, haven't they?
They're finished.
So grammatically incorrect to call them buildings, is that what you're saying?
Well, they are built, aren't they?
Yeah, you're right.
Anyway.
That's food for thought, Tex, I must say.
I'm coming in tomorrow.
Yep.
All right, I'll see you, boys.
How did you go up in Brisbane? There's a lot of one-way streets up there, Tex. You wouldn't have got lost going around up there, would you?
Oh, driving crazy. Yes, all these arrows. That's why I was walking around. It put me off my game. I was just looking at buildings all the time.
Yeah.
Drove me nuts.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'll see you boys tomorrow.
Yeah, you got a joke for us? Or?
Yeah, did you hear about the guy that kept slipping over in the library?
No.
No.
They found him in the non-friction sense area.
Good work.
All right.
See you boys.
That's all we got time for, thank God, with Monday Talk Back. Roo to tell us all about the footy in just a moment. Ruined It's on Triple M. Ruined It's here, 6:48 on this Monday morning. Tell us about the Crows going down by 1 point to Brisbane, Roo.
Yeah, it was a high-quality game, I thought. Some people were saying it's the game of the year so far, the caller that I worked with yesterday on Fox said that. He called the game as well. He thought it was the best game he'd seen for the year. But Crows fans watching it would have been hoping they were going to go to another level. It feels like the Crows have got another level, but they couldn't quite get there on the weekend. Their pressure around the ball wasn't good enough. And when you don't have pressure around the ball, Dits, the opposition midfielders have too much time to make decisions, and that makes it easier for their forwards. And I thought Charlie Cameron was great. Hipwood is going to be a very good player. He is lightning fast for a 6'8" full forward. And McStay looked good as well. So it brought the forwards into the game for Brisbane, and they all played well, and it made it hard for the Adelaide defenders, who was made harder. I don't know if you saw that collision. Did you see the collision between Hardigan and Keith?
Yep.
That was as hard as it gets. It reminded me of, was it Gillespie and Steve Waugh that had it?
Yeah.
It was very both similar to that.
Very committed.
Now, Hardigan's got a concussion. Keith got up and played out the game, but that did have a little bit of an impact on it. But full marks to Brisbane. They're going to be very tough to beat up there. Adelaide got a little reminder that if you drop off around the ball, that it's going to be hard to win. They're back in the pack, Adelaide. They need to have a look at it. They've got a tough draw coming up. Winnable, though. They're sort of the games that you can win them and lose them. It's West Coast in Adelaide. West Coast aren't shooting the lights out at the moment.
No.
But they're beatable. Melbourne in Alice Springs. You don't know which Melbourne you're going to get at the moment.
They seem to be getting a little bit better, though, don't they, Melbourne?
They do, yep. GWS. They were brilliant on the weekend, but they said it was their worst game ever the week before. So, and the Tigers, who are sort of in that boat as well.
Hard to pick as well.
The four games coming up is going to be interesting for the Crows, and they could be in the eight or out of the eight. They're on that fine line. Port Adelaide, we said on Friday, needed to just tough out an ugly win, because that's what it's like playing against Gold Coast, and it was ugly for the first half. Gold Coast could have actually been a few goals up in the first quarter. Dits, the three goals were touched by fingers. They were disallowed. But at halftime, it was all locked up, and I thought Boke stood up and got him across the line. He was damaging in the midfield. He was breaking the lines and getting the ball into their forward line. I think the positive out of the game was Frampton's game. I think he gave him a good target up there, and he's got a future as a key forward for Port Adelaide.
Did you like Joel Garner?
I did. I thought it was a bit strange putting him on Sexton in the first quarter. They're their most dangerous forward, and Sexton kicked two goals. But I thought he's tough. He looks good. And I think they give him he's another, you know, bloke that can play at half back for Port Adelaide. I don't know if he'll end up going in the midfield as well. Probably will. But they toughed out a good win. And they've got two winnable games coming up. If they can knock off the Hawks in Tassie, Dits, that'd be huge. Hawthorn were pretty ordinary again yesterday. And then they've got Saints in China. If they could go to the bye at 7-4, they're setting themselves up for a tilt at the finals.
You've got a young team out there at the moment.
You had eight players, I think, with less than 10 games experience. I think you'll get Jonas back this week. I think you get Robbie Gray back this week. So you just need a little bit of luck now to get some players back, get through to the bye, try and have a week off and get some healthy guys back in the team and set up a good second half of the year.
There's some talent there. I just thought yesterday, looking at a lot of small little bodies running around out there, but there's a ton of talent.
Yep, there's definitely blokes with class. Your recruiters are doing a really good job, Dits, bringing some good players to the club. Rosie, again, was fantastic yesterday, and Dersma played well again. So a good win by Port. It wasn't pretty, but you got the 4 points, and a good win for Port.
All right, good on you, Roo. Just a reminder, you could be winning $10,000 here later on this morning with the hearing test. Listen out for that. Also, the pressure test as well, a grand up for grabs right there. Roo and Dits on Triple M. Roo and Dits here on Triple M. The election has come and gone, Roo. I just want to read a tweet to you. This has gone viral. I think this sums up the Aussie election. This person is saying, my cousin's a Malaysian at her first Aussie election, and she's asked the question, what, no police, no riot squad? Just a bunch of friendly old men cooking a barbecue. So, in other words, that's how easy it is in Australia. Our elections are pretty ho-hum.
Yeah, and then at the end said, you don't know how good we've got it here. Yeah. And I think we do take that for granted at times, don't we?
Yep. Now, what do you take out of the weekend,
Ray? Well, I was just trying to have a bit of a think about it yesterday and why the result went the way it did. For as long as I can look at the screens up here in our studio, I've seen Bill Shorten always way, way down in the polls in the two you know, as preferred prime minister. No one likes Bill Shorten.
No.
Well, not no one. Not many
not
like
enough.
Bill Shorten.
Not enough to get him on the line.
I don't think they trust him. I don't think people were happy with his plans for negative gearing. I think they didn't know what was going to happen there. The pensioners certainly didn't like him. No one trusted his ability to properly understand his economics. I mean, when he got questioned all the time, he couldn't give straight, clear answers about how he's going to pay for all the taxes that he was going to bring on. So I think they're a little bit concerned about his ability to run the country from an economic point of view. Then you have One Nation. I think they had lots of bad press over the last couple of months, haven't they? Big stories have broken about them. Clive was annoying as anyone with his marketing. And as you said, Dits, you and most people didn't even read it. I reckon all I knew that he wanted to do in Adelaide was, South Australia was build a new nuclear power station. And all nothing much else other than that. And plus, I think they were never going to vote for him anyway, what he did up in Queensland with all those workers. He still hasn't paid.
Yep.
And he's loaded. The Greens are Greens. They get their voters from the people who are Green. And then you've got Scott Morrison, who really hasn't done a too bad a job. That's really the only one you can confidently vote for. And they went for him because he's doing a pretty good job and the country's in a good position and everyone under $126,000 is going to get $1,000 in tax relief, and he's a pretty safe bet.
So Bill Shorten was sprouting higher taxes. I want to take away your pension as well, tax that.
He couldn't explain where it was all going to come from.
What do you reckon people are going to vote for that? What I took out of the weekend is, do pollsters get paid? Because they shouldn't. Whoever did the polling in the weeks leading up to the election should be sacked and should never, ever be employed again or paid. And I'm serious about that. How can you get it so wrong that you actually start a $1.08 favourite and you don't win? I tell you, if they do the radio ratings, Roo, next time we're not number one, I won't believe them.
Get them on
seriously.
Side. How are they meant to predict individuals? It's a pretty tough job, though, isn't it?
It is. I want to tell you something else as well. Two seats in Adelaide in South Australia that are very important, Mayo and Boothby. A decision hasn't been made here yet. Oh, sorry, Mayo has. A decision has been made. But you know where you and I talked the other day about we don't understand preferences? Do you know in Mayo, Rebecca Sharkey didn't get the most number of votes, yet she won?
Yeah, I don't understand
that. So Georgina Downer got more votes but didn't win the seat.
Paul Murray's coming on at 8 o'clock. He'll be able to explain to us exactly how that works and why they even have preferences.
And in Boothby today, they're saying that it's tight there, Nicole Flint's seat. Well, she's way in front but may not win.
How many votes? 8,000.
8,000 this morning. She's 8,000 in front, but it's tight. I don't understand that at all. Never will. Clive Palmer, you mentioned that. I tell you, when I saw his double-page yellow ads, I just flicked over to the next page. I didn't read one word of it. When he's been on TV, I haven't listened yet. Labor are saying that he cost them the election.
Well, he spent $60 million, and most of that was rubbishing Bill Shorten, so that's how it certainly helped Liberals.
Yeah. Another thing, a lot of the panellists over the weekend, Roo, said, oh, the Libs have still got a problem. You know, there's not enough female MPs. Well, I'll tell you my reaction to that is they just got voted into power. In a big, big way. So has it really affected people out there?
Well, it hasn't at this stage, that's for sure, because they're in.
No. And I'm not suggesting there shouldn't be more female MPs, but it didn't seem to be an issue with the electorate over the weekend.
No.
So just some little things that we've observed out of the election, Roo.
Yeah. And we'll continue to go on. And Scott Morrison's, he's got no Tony Abbott to worry about now. He's got no Malcolm Turnbull. So the Liberal people that I spoke to yesterday said he's actually got a clean slate and an opportunity to see how good a Prime Minister he can be. And hopefully, for everyone's sake, he does a very, very good job.
All right, Ruined It's here on Triple M.
Triple M. Get out your Zimmer frames, chuck on a cardi, comb your hair over and crank up the tranny.
The grumpy guy story's starting to come into focus a little bit here.
Well, on Ruined Dits, it's time for grumpy old men.
Roo, we've got the Angels, we've got the Metros, now we've got the grumpy old men. Who have you got in here today?
We've got Johnny Reid, former football manager from the Crows. G'day, Reedy.
G'day, boys.
Yeah, and we've got Tony Franzon, who owns a few pubs around town and a massive Port supporter. G'day, Franz.
Where can we get a cold beer today, Franz?
All cold, mate. Always cold in our hotels.
Yeah, which one? Where should we go?
Bath's always the
Bath
one.
Bath Hotel at Norwood, righto.
And Michael Pratt, the old bushy that has a fair bit to say around town, used to be tied up with Norwood and used to be a Liberal Party MP.
That's me.
That's you.
Yeah, say good morning.
Welcome, Praddy. Dits, what's our first question
today? Now, Reedy, this will be one that will get you fired up. Football today, modern football versus football back in, say, the 60s or 70s?
Well, it's a great contest now. It was a great contest then. But as a spectacle, nowhere near the same.
What was the best era?
Oh, I think the 70s.
70s?
Yeah.
So what have they stuffed up about the modern game?
Oh, it was the way it's played, all in one part of the ground. I mean, they're trying to remedy it now with a 6-6-6. That lasts about 30 seconds.
Yep.
And it's played in one part of the game. They've incorporated a little bit of soccer tactics. They've incorporated a little bit of basketball. Mm. And, I mean, it all goes back to Eden Roos. I mean, they're
What?
Ede and Roos were the two blokes.
Oh, Ede and Roos.
Really swung that around. And I don't rate them at all for it because I think they...
Because they're very defensive.
It turns the game into... It's not a spectacle. Now, I enjoy it as a contest and I still go and I still, you know, like the barrack and do my thing. But coaches and... You talk to a coach now, oh, that's rubbish, John. It's a great game. Well, they have to say that because they get paid $600,000-$700,000.
That's right.
They don't want to lose their money.
Yeah.
But in real terms, you put them on a lie detector, they go on.
All right.
Righto. Something you boys are very qualified in. Well, I'm not sure if you think you are. Anyway, tell me about girls' fashion these days. Gee, it's changed. I mean, they weren't allowed to expose anything back when you guys were having a crack. Now, what? Tell us about it. Do you like it? Are they a bit skimpy? What do you think?
Well, I'm a bit the opposite of that, really. I've got a nickname. They call me Grunt Kenny.
Grunt Kenny?
The Iron Man, because I do most of the ironing at home. Anyway.
You were not doing any ironing at home.
Now, I even help my daughters out because they're busy.
With the ironing?
I do a bit of ironing.
Now, I wish I knew.
You get a basket full. You get a basket full of ironing.
Yeah.
There's only about three. No, I don't. Only three outfits in there. They triple layer, you know, all the four pieces of gear on before you even start, you know. Right. So I find the amount of money they've got to spend, then they layer up. So to me, I find that. Now, what about jeans? You buy a pair of jeans and pay $350 for a pair of jeans that have got
holes
in them, rips out. We paid for a pair of jeans. We might have paid $100. Well, we just use that as a figure. Yeah. And they use 2.5 metres of material.
Denim, yeah.
Now they use 1.25 and they charge you $400. I have trouble working that out.
We need to get into the denim industry, Rick.
Might have to get into fashion. Franz, you'd see some things at the pubs, mate. Are they? Do you like the fashion?
Look, it's certainly got a lot skimpier. Sometimes I blush. Some of the girls.
When was this? Oh, yeah, right.
I'm going through formal
right at the
moment.
Free drink.
And, you know, when I see the young girls and what they do now to prepare themselves for a big event, it's amazing. I'm with Reedy on the jeans. I don't understand how you can have half a jean league opened up and it's called fashion. The shorts are getting shorter and shorter and tighter and tighter. Sometimes in the hotel, I'm not sure what to say because it's incredible to watch what they can get away with these days.
Pratty?
Well, I particularly like it. I reckon there's plenty of skin, hair extensions, tattoos, and butter chicken spray tan. What could be better?
Do you get a bit confused about the colour sometimes?
I love going to the balaclava races, the cup day.
It always rains at Balaclava.
Always.
Doesn't it?
And all those Sheilas, those big, strong farm girls that I know with their high heels get stuck in the kikuyu. And I got to come along and lift them out. And then all the butter chicken spray tan runs.
And then you got to explain that to Diane when you get home.
Then they get on the bus and get dropped off at Malala Pub.
Yeah.
Is that one of yours, Fran?
No, I don't have Malala.
Ruined, it's here on Triple M on this Monday morning after the election. Shock result, everyone's saying, Roo.
It is,
there's no doubt about it. You'll hear more about it tonight on Sky News. 8:30, it's Paul Murray live. 8:30 PM tonight. Paul Murray joins us. Paul, good morning.
Morning, lads. G'day, Adelaide.
Tell me, Paul, do pollsters get sacked over this? All of these people that go around and earn money finding out who's going to win the election, and they got it so wrong.
Yeah, they deserve a massive flush. But I tell you, above everybody else, not just the media, not just the bookies, not just the pollsters, what about the psychic crocodile in Darwin?
Out of a job.
That's
out of a
the
job.
One that's, I'm sorry, that's about to become a pair of boots. And the boots are on their way to ScoMo.
A very expensive pair of boots. Some people might be able to afford to pay them now that Liberals got up. Who's going to be the next Labor leader?
Look, this is fascinating. Albo's the one who I reckon the old guard are going to try to get behind. So they're going to desperately try to say, hey, he's the only one who can actually win an election. But I think Plibersek's the one that, if it actually gets to a vote of the members, is the one who is going to is probably going to be the one who's going to win. That said, look, if Bill Shorten couldn't be sold in the suburbs of Australia, good luck selling Tanya Plibersek to the suburbs of Australia. You know, if you're a Liberal fan, you would hope that they make the mistake of Plibersek, because basically it's more of the same, more of sort of the super lefty stuff, or at least that's the caricature that can be put on them from the very start.
We ask a lot come election time, every time it comes around, preferences, and I must admit, I speak on behalf of Roo, I think we just don't understand it. I can't get my head around it, and I probably should be able to by now. I'm 55 years of age. But, for example, in the seat that I live in, the lady that got the most votes, Georgina Downer, didn't win. How does that... I would have thought the person that gets the most votes should win, but she didn't.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Look, a first-past-the-post system would be way better, but because, generally speaking, that's going to advantage the Liberals in more seats, the Labor Party's never going to agree to change that system. So in the case of Georgina Downer and Mayo, Centre Alliance, the old Xenophon thing, completely melted away. Across South Australia, they had about 16% of the vote at the last election. That completely disappeared. And it was just there for Rebecca Sharkey.
Yep.
And that was it. And as for the preference system, the actual story of the election is the mechanics of how the Liberals won. Is we all know that basically people who vote for the Greens end up giving their vote to the Labor Party. Well, what happened here was that One Nation, Palmer, those people... Previously, it was 50-50 whether it went back to the Labor Party or went back to the Libs. But at this election, it all went back to the Libs, and that meant that on top of their vote going up, they were able to lock stuff in, and Fortress Queensland, Fortress New South Wales, and pretty much more of the same in South Australia.
What about ScoMo now? He's got a clean slate. He's got no Malcolm Turnbull to worry about. Malcolm Turnbull doesn't have to worry about Tony Abbott anymore. So he's got a clean slate. He's got 4 years with no excuses now. How confident are you that he's going to do a good job, Paul?
I'm incredibly confident, because I think that he, first things first, he's going to be able to, he now looks out of the party room and he is the biggest figure in that room. Every single minister knows the only reason they are a minister is because of Scott Morrison, and every single backbencher knows, including the brand new people who will join, that the only reason they're over the line is because of Scott Morrison. That's John Howard-esque power to get things done, to shut people up, to make sure that when people try to sort of nip at his heels or go in a different direction, and because the polls were so manifestly wrong... If in 18 months' time, well, the polls say this, the polls say that, Morrison's going to be able to stare them down and say, well, so what? The scoreboard says we won last time.
Paul, just finally, and this is a bit of a negative question, I know, but I am concerned. For the first time ever, do we have real bad political activists? We see where Pauline Hanson's bus has been torched. Mm. We actually had a bus here in Adelaide vandalised in recent days as well. Get Up were very, very active, being anti all sorts of people in the lead up to the election. We're not going to head down that road, are we, surely?
Well, look, I think there is, sadly, a tone. And look, you know, obviously people who may not have seen my show, I'm an opinion guy, so get ready for an opinion, okay?
good.
Which is just, you know, Spears the journalist, I'm the opinion guy, okay?
Yep.
I think that the temper tantrums are going to get very bad from the left because they thought that there was about to be a woke revolution.
Mm. Yep.
Australia is not ready for a woke revolution. We're a bunch of workers who just want to get on with it. We want government to get out of the way. Sook factor that exists with the crazies who basically carry on like my 4-year-old does when she doesn't get to watch, you know, Frozen 16 times in a row,
yep.
Which is stamp their feet until they get what they want. Yeah. Well, guess what? Australia sent them to their room.
Mm.
Yep. And they're not happy about it. So, Paul, thanks for joining us.
There's going to be some psychos around, but bugger them. You know, push back. That's what Australia did.
All right. Good on you, Paul. We'll be watching tonight on Sky News, 8:30 p.m., Paul Murray Live.